things which are, we are speaking about every day's activity, which is visible, that is true. To door, to call door, it is true. To call water, water, it is true. Because it is the quality of the water, the property of water will everywhere, wherever you use it, whichever country you use it, it is giving you its properties visible and experienced. So this aspect of truth means nature is true, matter is true, but complete truth is living truth. The praise of the Supreme Being is Sat Chit Anand. Living truth, which brings bliss, which is bliss. So living is always living, or it is called Anant. It is Avinashi. It's immortal. It remains forever. Now our age, what we are, it is changing. So it is truth that yes, our age is changing, and a time comes, we die. Death takes place. It is truth. The person died. But the truth within the life, that person was there, is because the living energy was in it. That truth was living. So this truth is not visible, but truth is very much visible through its expression, through its activity. And so, Sat is truth. But when it is living, it's immortal. The qualification of the complete truth is Sat Chit Anand. And God is praise, God is truth. Why it is truth? Because God's truth brings power within the self. The truth of the soul empowers the body. And so truth is power. Where there is truth, there is no fear. Truth makes you dance. Truth makes you happy. Truth does not need to be proved. The truth of nature, for example, the sun is shining. The sun does not need to prove itself. Even the clouds are hiding the light, but the sun is still existing. Behind the clouds is light. And when we experience also through the clouds, when the sun is piercing, the heat that you feel at that time, it's very powerful. So sun is not visible, but the light is not visible. But we understand that it is temporary influence, or actually covered by clouds, which we don't say that sun does not exist. So in the same way, when the soul is recognizing its truth, it's no fear, it's immortal. Another aspect of truth is that truth has no fear at all. truth does not have to prove itself. It has the power to face. It does not have to actually argue, but when the truth is there, certainly there would be many challenges. And that the truth does not accommodate with this, that okay, half truth and half right, right? Right is right and wrong is wrong. So there is a difference between right and wrong, truth and falsehood, living truth and existing real thing. It's also real. It's reality that we are living here. It's a reality that we change our body, our age changes, stage changes, time changes. But eternal truth is, which is ever living, no matter how much change takes place, that change does not make you afraid, that change does not make you fluctuate. The truth, of course, invites many tests. But then the boat of truth, it is said, the boat of truth shakes, but it never drowns. And so there are certainly tests will be there. But if you believe and if you are real, honest, honesty is also aspect of truth. And then honesty wins the heart of others. A person is true in their company. There is some kind of vibrations are there. And it is called Satya Sangha. The company of truth is comfortable. The company of truth takes you across. It supports you. This is why God is truth. And what is truth? The truth of life. God is wisdom, knowledge. So God's knowledge makes me aware that giving the truth between the contrast of what is living truth, constant truth, and what is make-believe truth. Many times in situations in everyday life, some people experience some situation, and then their experience, they think that I tell you truth, this is like this. But it is person's experience is truth, but does not mean that that is going to be truth for everyone. Certain society systems are made, which is made-believe truth. But when real truth, the living truth, which is purity, which is peace, which is love, which is benevolence, which is kindness, which is humility, that remains all the time. But if it is not practiced, and then still its relationship in our communication, in our relationship, we experience with each other because we have not used that. And so it is not true. It's only picture is there. Picture does not make it true. If you keep the picture of the sunshine, it is true that it is a picture of the sunshine, but there's no heat in it. You can have the picture, a photograph of the ocean, but you cannot swim on the wall. Right? But so in the same way, when truth people say, but it is truth which is gives you the experience of inner authority, being fearless, courageous, loving. And truth is experience of the truth makes you authority, but the real power of truth is it is forever, but there is humility in it. There is love in it. And that greatness of truth it doesn't hurt. It is called truth hurt, but it is fear that hurts people. But real thing is, truth makes you strong. Truth makes you powerful, awakens you. And so the quality of truth means immortality. The quality of truth means support, strength. Quality of truth, fearlessness, self-confidence. That is one aspect of truth. So there are many different ways that we can see. Make believe truth, then real situations, that is real. At that time it is true. Person is living, died, we believe it is true, but the person did not die, the body died. And so in this aspect, matter is not truth. It is real, but not forever. The soul is forever, eternal and immortal. And the Supreme Soul is ever. And so his praise is Sat Chit Anand, Sat Chit Anand.
Thank you, Didi.
Truth brings victory. It's always victorious. Okay, I think I should stop now.
Thank you, Bibi. I think you've covered and touched on many, many connections with truth that I think I'd like to pick apart a little bit now. You talked about this subject of, you know, when you walk, when you are truthful, you do invite tests. And, you know, in the Lokic world, people say, and I came across this quote many years ago where they say truth is like surgery. It hurts, but it cures. A lie is like a painkiller. It gives instant relief, but it has side effects forever. And so if, I suppose, you know, somebody's question that had come in earlier was that when you talk about Sat Chit Anand and the journey of truth taking us to bliss, and if truth is so beautiful, then why are we still attracted to falsehood?
Because made-believe truth attracts us. For example, when we speak to the person, we say, oh, it's beautiful. You are very beautiful. So when we are beautiful, we are at that time seeing the external beauty. But then what is beautiful? It is the love that the mother is feeling for the child, and child is feeling the love for the baby, and baby is feeling love for the mother. Now it is true, it's beautiful. Then gradually we begin to believe that the picture is beautiful. What it is, just like, for example, it's a picture, it's the expression of the truth that the child is sharing with mother and mother is sharing with the child. Later on, we are attracted towards the physical form, and that is attracting us only that. And because it is attracting the real truth, but it is not interacting the truth. What I want to say that because it is gradually, when we become more and more, begin to identify our truth with our body, our body attracts us. Beauty attracts us. Age attracts us. Food attracts us. But the power between the truth is the food gives you satisfaction. Food gives you nourishment. Food gives you the energy that you can work, your machinery can work properly. So what is attracting you?
Right? What you're talking about is that I think when we move away from the energy of being, we get caught up in the image of something, becoming image conscious, how it looks, what it looks like, what the outer form of something, and that kind of is sometimes more attractive, and we can lose connection with the essence of something. You know, I want to backtrack when you were talking about truth inviting tests. And often we say that there's a price to walk the path of truth. You know, you can sometimes feel alone when you walk, when you feel you are truthful. And I'm just wondering, you know, about tolerance and the relationship of tolerance with truth, because, you know, I'm sure in your Brahmin life, you've had to swallow many bitter pills. Mm-hmm. You've been in, you know, people in relationships that maybe say things or do things, and you've had to tolerate a lot. So could you share a story or an experience from your Brahmin journey of kind of swallowing the bitter pill of truth, and you know, what does tolerance really mean in relation to becoming truthful without suppressing things?
In fact, but whenever such kind of situations came, I wanted to understand, means why this bitterness is there, what it is they had been expecting. And so, according to that person, whatever their belief and concept is, I have not fulfilled that. And so they, on one side, they are seeing something higher in me, but I am not able to fulfill that. So when I be honest with myself, I understood it's not because there is this bitterness is there. It's bitter, it is there that this satisfaction is there. This satisfaction because something more expectations are there. And so when looking at it as a detached observer, I accept it with patience and then looked if this thing was, I was watching that I was at that place where they, with the same point of view what other person opinion is or experience is, how would I react or expect? So this make me actually accept first what this person is saying and then becoming detached from that, internal honest checking that yes, it could have been better in this way. Not that it is any kind of adjustment or means that I shift away from, I take something, do something wrong if somebody is suggesting me something wrong. But I have to understand what are they actually coming from, where they are coming from, what is the background, what are the feeling, either our feelings are hurt or expectations are not fulfilled or perhaps they feel ignored, not accepted. And so just being myself, my own observer, I did not take sorrow from that. Of course, I spend a lot of time in that situation thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And I tried to take it in a very good way for my own self. That, for example, in this situation, what decision I have made, I made it with my authority. But then the other person or people, they don't yet accept that. And so, according to God's knowledge, according to need of the time, according to situation, I have taken this decision, but I have not made anything wrong. It's right. But then, on whose direction I am doing this? What step I taken? Is there any selfish motive in me? Is there was my own misuse of authority or what? And then I became observer of myself and I understood because it is their expectations are not fulfilled and they wanted to mend their authority as well. And so this is a hurt inside. Right? And it means that then I am now, I have to work like what the surgeon, the Supreme Soul, is treating, how it should be treated. The truth should remain truth, because it is not hurting only me, it's hurting them. And now I have to play the role of a nurse. The doctor gives injection to a nurse that give this injection, give this medicine. And the patient at that time is not ready to accept that his reaction or her reaction is to the nurse, not to the doctor. But in fact, doctor is benevolent and wants to help the patient. So this is decision I took, wanted to help and solve the situation. And so they are true. I should not blame them. But at the same time, I should remain to see my motive, my intention. Is this what truth is in it? So in this way, being as an observer, like not looking it with one aspect, but looking at both aspects, it kept me very inside, cool and calm, and just, it's all right. And the same situation then, it was officially done with everyone's advice, with everyone's wish. So the respect, what it was looking for, the souls wanted extra respect and care. Mm-hmm. And so I learned from that situation. It was not bitter pill, it was a sweet. So that made me aware that sometimes patience is needed. So it means I was very enthusiastic, but I need to have patience. I have to listen to others, not only listen my true consciousness, not only listen only the advice of seniors also. I have to just be detached and take the step accordingly.
Thank you, Didi. I think if I was to break down what you've just shared, it comes down to a compassionate understanding, seeking to understand someone's feelings, which is really truth in an act of compassion. And then at the same time, in understanding and seeking to understand someone's feeling, a genuine, honest observation of yourself and from where you've acted, and has your authority been on the reins of, you know, truth, and what is adjusted there, and then recognizing that it's also important to play the role of the nurse, to apply the balm and give the love to ensure that there is a pathway created. But what I felt when you were speaking is that you liberated yourself from blame, because what can happen when somebody is speaking their truth from their place of truth, whatever feeling it is, and the other person can't take it, then you can start blaming. And I think an interaction of truth liberates the soul from self-blame and blaming someone else. And this is where I want to ask the next question. I suppose it's linked to justice. People in the world especially have this sanskara of justice. I know I was supposed to, you know, be a lawyer, and part of that was that there was a sanskara of seeking justice for something that has been wronged. So can you talk to us a little bit about truth and justice, the feeling of justice?
It's a question of that person who is thinking it is justice. With which consciousness they are asking for justice? Because it means if they are only looking it from their viewpoint, then there will be some argument, some selfish motive, or some blame on others, or not trust in others, right? But then if it is justice, then again, putting this other person at your place, and how would you have behaved? What are your expectations? That is, Am I comparing myself with other people? No, it means that I am comparing it with something, with someone, with some situations. So I have to look what was the background. Am I wanting something immediate, some reward, and other people have received it? So I have to check what was actually my action that I did, or what service I did, or what support I gave, what I want in return. Am I comparing the reward with somebody else? It's not only just a visible achievement. There must be invisible relationship, invisible support, invisible respect for each other, invisible, which I am not able to see, and I feel that the other person is doing favor to that one. So I would call it injustice to me. Or it can be perhaps situation where the other person has some kind of attachment, influence, fear, pressure, and in that situation that person has helped the other person. Then I need to maintain my self-respect, that if I have not received any kind of the support from other person, my quality cannot be taken away. My dignity cannot be decreased. My qualities are with me. My happiness is with me. My truth is with me. My original strength is within me. I cannot sell my because of other person have not made the right judgment, and I throw away my own inner abilities and my own inner dignity and my own inner the work that I did. It I have planted. Maybe it is not has brought power result now, but definitely a time comes when whatever I have done, it will be visible. Because if it is done with good intention, with really humility and with dignity, result will come. Maybe that person who is at this moment making decision perhaps have not realized or not able to recognize now, but according to the law of spirituality, the law of karma, the law of nature, whatever I have planted, it will bring, it can be delayed, but not necessary that it will miss, I have to get it now. So my feeling that I should not lose faith in myself, I should not lose my strength, and I should not create bad feeling or hatred about that person. It means that I'm damaging my own self, my own quality.
Didi, would you say that if you are seeking justice, and like you said, from a place of you have to check your intention as to why you're seeking justice, but even the act of seeking justice doesn't sound very compassionate. And would you say that the act of seeking justice is the same as trying to take the law into your own hands?
Yeah, it is in the other way. It is because I am not aware of the situation. I'm only seeing the temporary what is at the present time. Like even people, for example, people blame God. God did injustice to me. Or God is cruel. My son is taken away. He did not save my son. He did not save my daughter. He did not save my this thing. God does not do this thing. As a God doing an injustice. So in fact, it is misunderstanding of sometime what we expect. Lack of understanding is also injustice. It's not necessary that they take the law in their hand. They react to the because their expectations are not fulfilled, the work is not, reward is not given the way they were thinking. Mm. Does not mean that they have the authority to say it is injustice. Sometimes
it just keeps coming to mind, Didi, that what you're sharing is that truth is really, to be truthful in anything is an act of selfless compassion. It's it's like you said, holding that feeling of your dignity, not seeking the reward or a specific outcome because of some limited interaction. Mm. It's this word, compassion, keeps coming back time and time again in my mind as I'm listening to you about the energy of truth. And somebody has sent in a question where they're saying that, you know, when you discern truth as a feeling, a vibration, is this purity that we're discerning? This feeling, is truth and purity the same thing? Could you elaborate a little bit on the relationship between truth and purity?
This is truth is selfless. Truth is detached. Truth is not actually trying to force something. Truth is truth. And so it is because it is benevolence, pure feeling. So when you can benevolent only when there's in your heart feelings are pure. And that is purity is self when it is selfless. And when it is doing anything with a unlimited consciousness, then you are pure. Actually, it is a purity of the heart, honesty of the heart, innocence of heart. Otherwise, innocence becomes like a child. It's pure innocent. He would say the truth without any fear. He is not afraid. Later on, people, their parents or their teacher, make them afraid that, why did you say this? You should not have said this. But an innocent child with a pure heart will say whatever it is. There's many interesting stories about it, that one time a king, he was very fond of the fabric, refined, fine fabrics. And he got made very fine fabrics made, and he was wearing this very transparent fine fabric dress. And he knew that it was a dress which is transparent. And then he was going around the city, and all others did not say anything. But little children started saying, "King is naked, king is naked, king is naked." So it is the innocence of the children. So then they spoke what they felt, what was truth. So in the same way, when we say God is truth, why it is truth? Because, and God is the supreme judge. But our wrong understanding and misbelief of the sorrow we take because of ignorance, we say God is cruel. God is partial. God did not do this. Deep within our mind, we call it is justice, but it was injustice, but it was not a question of justice or injustice. It is God is detached from that. And neither he gives anyone punishment, nor he gives any kind of a bundle of reward to someone. The truth is, he gives the truth. God is truth. He gives the knowledge of the truth. That you are an eternal being and your original quality is peace, purity, love, wisdom, selflessness. You are not this what you are visible. And so when we begin to measure with our measurement, with our eye of understanding, we use this language, justice or injustice, good or bad. But then when you are a detached observer and selfless, impartial, unlimited, it is not favoritism to anyone.
There's no polarity.
So, yeah. So this is why that this is called innocence as well. It's called purity because even you are blamed, you don't take that blame. It doesn't touch you. You are blame proof. You are fire proof because your own strength inside of this love, of purity, of good wishes is giving them the truth. At that time, people's own desire, their dependency, their instant something demand, these things create this kind of consciousness of falsehood or injustice or wrong authority or telling lies, trying to hide something from us, right? So here it's the impurity within our own selves then blame the truth. But in fact, truth is purity.
I liked what you said, Didi, when you talked about the innocence of the heart.
Yeah.
And just the spontaneity and the purity and the example you gave of how little children are, they will say it as it is. They're not clever inside. And I think that when truth starts to take the form of cleverness, then something starts to get mixed.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned and mentioned on several occasions that those who speak the truth will be fearless. Now, one question that's come up that's come up from the audience is, can the truth be manipulated?
Yeah, it can be manipulated because if I am not staying in my living truth, my living truth is that I, the soul, I am really truth and my original qualities, the truth within me. Truth within me is knowledge. Truth within me is my peace, my love, my happiness, my benevolence, my kindness, and my pure consciousness. Who am I? Being of light. I'm child of the supreme truth. Satchidananda, Sat, truth, living. The moment I forget this, I begin to become dependent on achieving love, respect, position, appreciation, support, some kind of instant reward in it. And it means that then people can be manipulated because when I have forgotten the truth, I begin to depend on falsehood, which I don't realize it is falsehood. It's a temporary. So this is what it is. In the beginning, you said that falsehood attracts a lot. And it is what happens in our life. We begin to move away from the reality. You would have noticed when you go in a country or a place, when you see its real buildings, they are not so beautiful, so attractive. You see the scenery in a picture, a photograph. A photograph is more attractive than the real. It is attracting, right? So sometimes it is the artificial things will come in it. Picture, real building is a real building. There is strength in it. Real scenery is a beautiful scenery because it has environment in it. Real sunshine has the warmth in it. But then we become attracted towards the scenery. Because at that time is giving limited charm, but not strength. And so why we are attracted? Gradually, we begin to charm ourselves with these charming things which are temporary. And so truth is permanent. And so when I have forgotten this immortal truth within myself, being truth, then I am certainly being manipulated because I want something instant. I want something from somebody else. Or I want, perhaps I'm attracted to something like others have, I might have. I have forgotten my own truth.
I think and you a very beautiful example, Didi, this thing about the actual environment itself is filled with qualities and is nourishing you. The sun is nourishing you, qualities. Mm. But when you just stay with the image, you're not nourished with the qualities behind it. And I'm just thinking about that in terms of our human interactions. You know, when we stay image conscious as part of body consciousness, we don't receive each other's qualities.
Yeah.
We don't feel supported by the strength of each other's qualities. Yes. So then judgment comes, prejudice comes, and you can still feel quite far away from the people that you even physically live with because of an image consciousness. And this takes me to the second question that someone's asked is, you know, when we talk about being truthful in our relationship, this whole thing about how to remain truthful with someone, but not to fall into the trap of pleasing somebody. Because, you know, when we do things just to please somebody, we're not happy and they're not happy. Mm. But sometimes we may feel that maybe I can't reveal the truth. It's important to keep them happy instead of revealing the truth. So what does it really mean to be truthful in a relationship and to speak truthfully without falling into the trap of pleasing somebody?
So now, because that person whom I want to please, again, I have to see, I have to also be farsighted. And when I am pleasing that person, am I really pleasing them or I'm making them handicapped? I'm not supporting them. So I have to see my real love for that. And also I want to please that person appreciates me, that I am. Otherwise this person will say, oh, you are very cruel. You are very hard. I loved you, but you don't love me. It means that I have to be also say very honest. I want to please them for what? That I want to please myself. And if I am really, really, really benevolent, like a nurse, right? Now, mother and nurse, both, for example, have the same situation. A nurse has a patient in front of her. The child is asking for something, chocolate or something sour, which is not good for the child at all. And child is crying, I must have this, I must have this. Doesn't matter, you just give it to me. Blaming, why don't you give me what I want? Mother would be immediately said, oh, it's all right, no, better, the child is crying, no. Just little bit I give him, not full. But it means what it is, it's attachment. Attachment that I cannot tolerate that my child is crying. But I'm not far-sighted that if I don't tolerate the cry of the child at this time, I have to tolerate a big loss afterwards. This is what I mean, far-sighted. Mm. You might be a doctor, a surgeon. So surgeon, if he looks that, oh, patient will feel very, very painful, but this pain patient doctor is not doing favor to the patient if he doesn't want to do the operation because the patient will have pain. He knows that will pain is there. And doctor, surgeon knows inside, of course, there could be some method to support the patient that he does not have that much pain. But the student or the patient should also understand, no pain, no gain without pain. He has to tolerate something. Mm. And so just like a doctor, nurse, a surgeon, if he really benevolent is there, so he knows that person is going through a difficulty, but for the long run is safety. In the same way, if I want to do someone's favor, which my conscience is not telling me it is right. So it means I am doing against my conscience. And that is falsehood. My true consciousness is saying this is wrong. I don't want to please him and I don't want to please myself because I will be defamed. That's why it means I have fear inside. Truth has no fear for the self and no fear for others. Because truth is truth. Eventually, it is bitter, but it is healing power. Mm. It is actually, it hurts, but in reality it heals. And especially, you would have noticed, when we have done something not right, and other person says something, gives signal, at that time, though you don't feel comfortable, but internally, you feel this was, I was also thinking the same what he is saying. And at that time, you might react, but inside you are actually thinking that that particular mirror that person has given you, if you are honest, again, it is honesty, purity inside, love for my own self and love for others, that do I want to favor because of fear, because of some selfish motive, because of attachment, because of some getting something extra from others? I have to tell the truth and I have to be true. Then even at that time it was a difficult period, but eventually truth wins the heart. Real truth, that time they might blame, but God, truth is ever blissful. People defame him or praise him. He's beyond.
You come back to, we have about maybe just under 10 minutes left, Didi, and I just want to perhaps bring in one more question and then have some time for meditation, if that's possible. I think we come back to this point of truth and fearlessness. And yet, for many, truth and fearlessness, being fearless. And yet, still the complaint in many Brahmin souls is they still experience fear. And so what's your advice to souls who still experience fear inside for anything? Maybe fear of being wrong, fear of being rejected, fear of being hurt, fear of being defamed. What is your advice for souls to start facing that fear with this power of truth?
It is the practice of basic truth, the practice of the original truth, the real truth, reality and truth, to understand the difference between reality and truth, and then becoming really truth, because why I'm afraid? What is my consciousness at that time? Am I soul or body? I am afraid of perhaps something will be taken away from me. I am thinking of some kind of deep inside is some, I am dependent on that. But in fact, I don't need to be dependent on anything. Why should I be afraid of this? Because I will not be loved. I would not be favored. I would not be supported. I would not be appreciated. I might be compared with other people. What is this? Body consciousness. But I don't believe body consciousness is wrong. I know it is wrong, but I practice every day body consciousness. So I am dependent on body consciousness, and I don't want to let go body consciousness. So I am not being a true being. I am a living being, but I am not practicing. And this is why every day, without a fail, I think 10 times, 20 times, sometimes 30 times, consider yourself to be a soul. You are true energy. So I am not only a soul, I am a truth. I am a living being, I am a pure being. What percentage of truth I practice? My percentage of body practice is more body consciousness. Even up to 62 years later, I see very less percentage compared to this. So if I am not living a balanced life of body and soul, I am real in this body, but truth is I am a soul. My bodily matter is making it very clear what is real. But my soul quality is truth. They are real in the head. They are real in the heart. How much they are real in behavior. How much is this in my character. And because I am not acting according to the right character of myself, that is fear. Fear is inside this because I'm not really practicing truth, which is truth. And truth is, I would not lose anything. Neither I want any gain from anybody, not any losing anything. But I am dependent, what I am on temporary, truth is permanent, I am attracted by temporary things.
Thank you, Vivi. Vivi, thank you. I feel we're just starting to swim in this ocean of truth. You're kind of starting to warm up, and time is now signaling to us also. But I just have this feeling, because in the world right now, you know, there's all these situations about conspiracy theories and people seeking what's the truth. And for Baba's children, I think what you've shared in the last few minutes, that being this vibration of truth is what will really serve now at this time in the world. That we've been sharing perhaps words of truth, and we've been doing good things, but what the world really now needs is the support of the vibrations of being truth, being that pure light and that soul. So thank you very, very much, Didi, for sharing and shedding light in such practical ways and stories. And I'd like to just invite you, Didi, if you can, in the last 4 or 5 minutes, just take us into a commentary meditation into this feeling of being true. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Om. Om. Shanti. Om. I realize, I understand, I believe, I am eternal and immortal being. Truth is immortal. is eternal. Exists forever. Within this eternal being, in the living truth, me, the living energy, the aspect of truth, is the state of purity. Golden purity. Divine divinity. Truth of the golden age. Where the matter and mind, the soul and body, both are Sattu Pradhan. The truth is at the highest level, the purest degree. Nature and soul are in harmony. Relationship is harmonious, loving, and natural. My reality and spirituality exist together. Spirituality is reality. There is strength in it. The soul is pure, loveful, and powerful. This is spirituality. The experience of spirituality is the authority of truth. Natural balance. of being detached and loving. My truth, austerity, peace and love. I am a pure, peaceful and loveful soul. So are you. Belong to the Satchidanand, the truth, living truth, blissful one. Vibrating truth, experiencing truth, sharing truth. I am a soul. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Thank you.